Good morning, everyone. It's great joy to be with you here this morning. I don't know if you saw from Rome yesterday in the news, but Rome just announced yesterday that Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati will be canonized next year, 2025. So naturally, I woke up this morning and scrapped my homily from last night and had to completely change it. So today's theme, main theme, will focus on Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. Before diving into that, though, just a brief word about our gospel for today. I am the vine, you are the branches. For the early Jews, right, for the Jews during this time, everything for them was about the temple. They would have to go up to the temple multiple times a year, right? The temple, the dwelling place of God. As the temple became the center of worship in many ways for the Jewish people. And they would have to go up to Jerusalem, the topography matters, they go up to Jerusalem to go there. And one of the things that's so cool about the temple, Jesus is actually probably thinking about this when he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Inside the temple, on the facade, on the walls, are these giant vines with gold, all made out of gold. So not real vines, right? But the golden vines with grapes on them. And Josephus, the first century historian, he talks about how those grapes were the size of a human being. Just absolutely massive. The temple would have been absolutely beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, and Jesus would have known the size of those grapes. And so when he says, remain in me, I am the vine, you are the branches, this is exactly the imagery that probably would have come to mind for the Jewish people, for the apostles, for his disciples. Now, one thing that's so cool is that the image of a vine and the tree of life are often interchangeable in Scripture. So I gave homework to the 8 a.m. crowd as well. So for your homework, yes, you get homework. You can come back next week and tell me if you did it or not, right? Your homework is to Google the famous mosaic in San Clemente in Rome. San Clemente is a famous mosaic where Jesus is on the cross, the tree of life, and from the tree of life, all these different vines are coming out of it. All these vines are in circles, and in the very center of the circle are different saints in this mosaic. All to say that the saints incorporated, because they are those grapes in the vine, incorporated into the tree of life. So that was the homily last night. If you had come last night, you would have heard that. Today, I want to preach about Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who will be canonized next summer. They haven't announced the date yet, but we should go. It's going to be awesome. Pier Giorgio Frassati, he's become a good friend, a close friend. If you haven't heard of him, you should look him up. He's a very, very powerful saint for our times. On his beatification in 1990, John Paul II said he's the man of the eight beatitudes, a saint for our times. Blessed Pier Giorgio, he's a part of the 24 Club. He died when he was 24 years old. So born in 1901, dies in 1925. He lived through World War I, and that very much shaped who he was and who he is. Because during that time, he loved to serve the poor. His dad owned a newspaper, actually, that was all very political. And so he had a great love for his country, defending the faith, defending the country, and growing up during the kind of the reign of Mussolini that really formed him. So he loved to serve the poor and said, no, every soul matters. Every person does. There's many stories about him going and loving the poor and serving them in different ways. A couple of them would be, he would always... He would often find the poor people who needed food, who needed money. And instead of, he would actually take money from his pocket that was supposed to be for his bus fare and give his bus fare ticket or money to the poor, to the homeless, to the needy. And oftentimes he would be walking home then and his mom would be like, why are you late again? He said, I gave my money away for someone to have food. Another famous story, he encounters a mother and a child. And he notices that the child, the poor little boy, had no shoes on. And so he took his shoes off, gave it to that boy, and then gave them all his money. And he shows up back home barefoot, and his mom said, what are you doing? Where did your shoes go? And he said, I had to give it to this poor little boy who had no shoes. Pier Giorgio, when he was in about middle school, him and his sister, he had just one younger sister, 16 months apart. They went to the local public school. Growing up in Italy, public schools, you learned Latin. Well, Pier Giorgio failed Latin when he was in eighth grade. So his parents said, what are we going to do? I don't want you to go to the state school anymore. We're going to send you across town to the Jesuit high school, right? So he goes to the Jesuit high school, and it's actually there that he begins to have a really profound conversion and growing closer to the Lord. Pope Pius X is Pope at the time. This is right when Pope Pius said, we need to start having the Eucharist, communion, offered more often, and specifically that lay people can receive communion daily. It started to be the encouragement that people can now receive communion daily. But it still wasn't widely accepted because it was thought, are we just going to take this for granted? If I receive communion daily, will I understand the beauty of the source and summit of the faith, of the Eucharist? And so, Blessed Pier Giorgio, he goes up to the Jesuits and says, I want to be a daily communicant. And he was told no, right? The Jesuits were like, you need to get permission from your parents. And he pleaded and pleaded with his mom, and his mom said, if you start receiving every day, you're not going to understand the importance, the weight, the beauty of this sacrament. And eventually, he goes back to the Jesuits, and he said, I won the argument with my mom, right? So he was then allowed, admitted to receive daily communion, and he practiced that for many years. Eventually, he goes to college. He studies engineering in a local technical school in kind of north in Milan, Turin area of Italy. And it's there that he really begins to flourish in his faith. He had a group of friends, and they actually called themselves the Tipi Loci, right? The shady characters. They would get into a little bit of trouble together, but more specifically, they called themselves that. It was very ironic because they would all go together every Thursday and have adoration all night together in the local church. Right, think of a time when there was no Flocknote, right? There's no social media. So everything was handed out via paper. And so for Pier Giorgio, he received this announcement, we're going to have adoration on Thursday night, and then he would take that, copy it, and hand it out to all his friends. He loved smoking cigars. He loved going to the pool hall. He loved his friends and begged the Lord every night for their conversion. There's a famous story of him. He would go to the pool hall and play pool, and he would bet his friends, if you win, I will give you $100. But if I win, you have to spend an hour with me in adoration. And this might be a little apocryphal, I don't know, but the story that I heard is that Pier Giorgio never lost a game of pool, right? And so then he would go spend an hour with his friends in prayer, in adoration. But he knew it wasn't enough, so then at night he would kneel in the snow all night long, staying up, begging the Lord, Lord, I beg you for the conversion of my friends. Because he was hanging out with people in this world. But yet Pier Giorgio, he knew where his heart was. He knew how to love the Lord. The thing that first led me to Pier Giorgio was his love for the mountains. There's a famous photo of him, right, on his last climb, going up the side of a cliff in Milan. And this is what he had to reflect on about mountains. This was when he was in college. Every day that passes, I fall more desperately in love with the mountains. I am ever more determined to climb the mountains, to scale the mighty peaks, to feel that pure joy which can only be felt in the mountains. Every day, my love for the mountains grows more and more. If my studies permitted, I'd spend whole days in the mountains contemplating the Creator's greatness in that pure air. On that famous photo of him climbing up that peak, it wound up being his last climb. Because a month later, he contracted polio and then died 6 days later after that, likely getting polio from serving the poor who he was with. So powerful at his funeral. At his funeral, his parents were shocked when there were hundreds and hundreds of people there. And the streets outside the church were lined with even more people. And his parents were saying and were asking, where are these people? Who are these people? Where are they all coming from? And story after story, these were people who were poor, who were homeless, that Pier Giorgio had encountered at some point in his life. Hundreds of people flocked to his funeral to pay respects to him. For Saadi is not a saint because he climbed mountains. For Sadi's not a saint because, I don't know, he did different things, right? For Sadi's a saint because he loved God and he loved the poor. What I want to close with is a reflection of the famous line that most of us have probably heard. That last climb, that last photo that he had, he took out a pen and he wrote Verso L'Alto on it. Verso L'Alto, which often we translate as to the heights. That's literally what it means, to the heights, but it's so fascinating, there's a deeper meaning in the Italian. You see, the word L'Alto in Italian is actually, or Alto, I should say, it means height, high, but it's something that's actually used in the liturgy. And it's very likely Frassati would have known this. In the liturgy, the priest will say, in alto I nostri cuori, literally, to the heights, our hearts. We lift up our hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. In Latin, we say sursum corda, literally, upward hearts. This was Pier Giorgio's goal. Not just that I climb mountains, not just that I go up and see to the heights in this world, but that would actually lead us to a higher place in holiness. That I would long for the heights of holiness, that I would actually climb the true mountain of holiness, which is Christ, into the source and summit of our faith, which is the Eucharist. And this is what Frassati lived for, becoming a daily communicant when it wasn't even practiced very widely yet. And so this is a commentary about Verso L'Alto. As a short phrase, it is the synthesis of his mode of living, always to search for that which is higher, to set off beyond ourselves towards the highest of what it means to be man. Pier Giorgio became a saint because he loved the poor, he loved God, and he sought the heights of holiness. Brothers and sisters, as you approach the Lord today, remain in him. He is the vine, we are the branches, we have no life without him. But today, Christ is summoning you to the heights of holiness, that we would follow after him, that we would fall in love, that we would seek him in all that we do, that we would lift our hearts to him. Verso L'Alto. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, pray for us.